Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Monday, February 8th, 2016. And with me today, I have Brian Chaffin. How are you, Brian?
Feeling righteous and mighty.
As well you should.
As one does.
Yeah, yes. As one does. And John Martellaro, how are you today?
Super Bowl. It feels so good.
You know, I had a feeling
you've been waiting to do that all day long.
Yeah.
Okay. Exactly. All right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I kind of had a feeling that you would feel all righteous about the Broncos Super Bowl win, and everyone should be really impressed that I was actually able to rattle that off, that I knew that bit of information. Yeah.
Inside John's head for the last 10 minutes. Introduce me.
Yeah, I'm thinking so. Yeah. But hey, now we've got that out of the way, so we can talk about Apple stuff. And I thought we should just start right off with the whole Error 53 thing. And for our listeners that aren't familiar with this yet, here's the quick version. If you have the home button on an iPhone or iPad that has Touch ID built in, if you have that replaced and it's not done by an authorized Apple Service Center that follows the correct procedure for installing and repairing the sensor with the rest of your system, then your iPhone at some point is going to stop working. And all you'll see on screen is error 53. And people started freaking out about this over the weekend. And Apple says, hey, no need to freak out. This isn't about trying to force people away from third-party repair centers. This is all about making sure that the Touch ID sensor does remain secure and no information that it protects gets leaked out, which would include fingerprints.
I'm calling this error 53. I'm also calling it area 51 effect. Yeah. And that is that when without a proper understanding of the technology, people tend to jump to conclusions, hair trigger. Yeah, it's just like the assumptions we make about Area 51. Oh, there must be aliens there giving lectures on quantum physics. As Jeff said in the intro, Apple does certain things for deep technical reasons that are not well known. And the outward effect is hard to decipher without background. And then people get all self-entitled, as you mentioned in the article, Jeff, and whiny. And blast Apple for trying to mess with them. And it turns out in the end, there's perfectly good reasons. Maybe some repair centers cut corners or didn't do something right or didn't understand the manuals. And so there you have it. And there's no reason to get upset about this because Apple puts security first.
Well, the reason to get upset is that some people have some bricked phones and Apple won't do anything about it.
Well, that's not the case. They are doing things about it. Some people, here's where I see the real problem. Apple has not consistently dealt with the issue. They have not dealt with the issue in a consistent manner. There we go. So some people are going into Apple stores and are having to buy new phones, and other people are going into Apple stores and they're getting their phones replaced. And what I'm wondering is if this is an issue where if you took your phone in, if the Apple Store could replace the home button and Touch ID sensor and then repair everything and then you're back on your way, you'd still have to restore your iPhone, but at least you wouldn't have to buy a new one. And yes, you'd end up paying for a home button repair twice, but that's still cheaper than having to buy a new phone.
Yeah, and that from the standpoint of Apple not fixing all these devices, whether or not they're charging people. I mean, actually, I don't have a problem with Apple disabling the phones because I do understand the security aspect of it, and I understand what they're trying to accomplish with that, and those are good things. I do have a problem with Apple not being consistent about repairing the devices. And from that standpoint, this is a self-inflicted wound. People were getting upset about it for that reason. It's because people couldn't get them fixed. And those were the reports that were gathering steam on the interwebs.
There was a lot of reports gathering steam related to the fact that Apple was doing this. But I think that goes back to the self-entitled group, where they just don't like that Apple is doing something that, for whatever reason, they don't want. And I think there's a lot of people that don't get the need for the level of security that Apple is going for with a Touch ID sensor. And I mean, can you imagine the PR nightmare and the loss of trust Apple would have to deal with if at some point fingerprint data or credit card data was leaked somehow through the Touch ID sensor?
Can you imagine the blowback that Apple would get in the press if they put the security measure in place and then didn't fix some phones? Oh, no, we don't have to imagine it because it's happening.
Right, but at least that's not as bad as data getting out. But still, your point stands, and I agree with you. Apple should deal with this in a consistent manner. And my guess is that they are right now working on whatever that policy will be, and maybe we'll get an official statement about that part, or maybe not. And another problem that I see with this is that Apple could have done like a KB article long ago saying, warning, third-party home button replacements could render your phone unusable. And then just give the basic explanation. It's a part of the security system for Touch ID, and then leave it at that. And people still would have just wailed and gnashed their teeth and been angry, but they would have been angry for a completely different reason, and it would have come across totally as a selfish, self-indulgent thing, as opposed to what we're dealing with now, which is the whole thing with people being pissed off and there's not a consistent response from Apple about how to fix the problem.
Yeah, was there a pattern on which stores were not agreeing to do a repair?
Not that I know of. And it doesn't sound like, in the grand scheme of things, like percentage-wise, there have been that many people that have had to deal with this. So I don't know if there's enough instances to be able to pick up a pattern. Like, is this based on a specific region or exactly what's going on with that?
In any event, this is a self-inflicted one. There just wouldn't be any press here if Apple had dealt with this properly from the get-go.
I'll agree with you on that part.
Yeah. And that's why I get a little bit antsy at the idea of just calling everybody who's whining about this entitled, because there is a problem here on Apple's side.
Yes. Now the whining that I have been seeing primarily is self-entitled whining. But yes, there are people out there that are airing legitimate complaints, because there is no consistent response from Apple.
Can you imagine the crowing that the Mac community would have done 12 years ago if something similar was going on with Windows machines?
Oh, it would have been hyperbolic.
And the crowing then and howling that we would be doing if Google did something similar.
Well, we've already seen the Google side with the whole Touch ID or fingerprint sensor thing, because there's the exploits where you can capture fingerprints and other sensitive data through the fingerprint sensors on many Android smartphones. Boom. No, I'm giving you a hard time with the boom.
Yeah, that's not quite the analogous here.
Well, the part that lines up here is that there are some people that think it's ridiculous that they can't go to any repair center they want and have any third-party Touch ID sensor put into their iPhone, so they can save a few dollars or for whatever reason. And we have seen what happens when you don't have the level of security that Apple demands for their Touch ID sensor.
So why didn't Apple just simply disable Touch ID instead of bricking these phones? It's another aspect of this that
maybe there's a technical issue. Did I say a tickle issue? Wow, a technical issue. Why they can't? I don't know.
Yeah, I suspect it was just easier.
Actually, I just came up with a good reason why you wouldn't want to do that. Because if you don't have total control over the sensor, then how can you actually disable it? Meaning, let's say someone designs a home button with a malicious Touch ID sensor in it, and so your iPhone can't shut it off. And now every time you touch your home button, it's capturing fingerprints.
There you go, Jeff. I agree with you, though. Even before you gave a brilliant example, I suspected there was a
technical issue. Disable Touch ID. You don't need to break the phone. Yet.
You're not getting what I'm saying, Brian. You can't in that situation because Apple doesn't have control over that sensor. It would be
no, but if Apple was still doing the same security check that it's doing to brick the phones, it could start the phone up and with that disabled, and the phone still works.
Except that the chip, the sensor that this third party company created, is still gathering data.
Not if the chip's disabled. Apple could do that too.
Maybe. Maybe not. I mean, I could see a scenario where someone designed a chip where Apple sends a command and says, hey, disable yourself. And the chip replies back, okay.
You guys have just become Apple apologists. That's all I'm saying.
Well, I'm only a partial Apple apologist in this case. Because I think Apple's big failure here was communication. And this is Apple's big failure over and over. There are so many...
That's a good point.
So many problems or PR issues that Apple's had to deal with over the years, where if they had only given us information earlier, it never would have been an issue. And I think this is the same thing.
Yep.
Yeah. All right. So... now, I guess we wait and see if Apple does come up with a new approach for dealing with this home button issue, Touch ID issue. And my guess is that they will. And there will be a new policy put in place that if someone comes in with a Error 53 iPhone from a third-party sensor, that Apple will replace it or whatever it is that they're going to do, they'll have a standard procedure in place.
Yeah. Well, we know they'll do the right thing, even if it took them a day or two.
Well, we'll see if it's the right thing, because it could be that they decide their policy is you put third-party hardware in your device, you voided any warranty, and so you just have to buy a new phone. Hopefully that's not the policy they go with.
But the interesting thing is that... They would take any of those phones, fix them, and then sell them as refurbs.
Oh, sure. But it wouldn't be with the buttons that were put in by third parties.
No, that's what I'm saying. That's what the fix would be.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean, you're right. So like the sane policy here is that you take one of these things and you've gone to, you know, some third party place. They've put in their incorrect sensors, and they've not paired them correctly, and your phone is bricked. You take it into the Apple store, and they say, okay, well, you had an unauthorized repair done, so your warranty is voided for $150 or $200 or $100 or whatever it costs. We can fix this. Now, you still won't have a warranty, but your phone will work again. That would be the same way to handle this.
That sounds very sensible, Brian.
Yeah, there would be people, of course, that would complain, but it doesn't matter what you do. There will always be complainers.
I'd be all over your calling them entitled bandwagon at that point.
Yeah, and actually, I do like your idea, Brian, because it addresses the fact that someone has voided their warranty, and yet Apple is still being good about it and giving people a phone that works.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. I like that.
They should have consulted with us.
I can't believe they didn't. What is wrong with those people?
It seems like a silly shortcoming.
Yeah. Hey, we still have a few minutes where we can talk about another topic. So I'm just going to jump us over to another thing. John, you on Friday in Particle Debris, you offered up some ideas about Apple Watch and how it can become more effective in monitoring our fitness and health.
Yeah, I remember way back when we heard the rumors of Apple Watch, we had high aspirations for what its sensors could do, and there was some FDA approval issues and issues with the technology, and Apple finally settled on just measuring your heartbeat. But there was high hopes in the early days that Apple would be able to also measure your blood sugar, which is an important value for many, many people. So being a devoted Scientific American fan, as you know, I ran across this article called Wearable Sweat Sensor Paves the Way for Real-Time Analysis of Body Chemistry. And this article got me thinking, well, you know, if we're able to do that, then it won't be long until the Apple Watch second generation or third generation has the ability to exploit this sensor. Basically, it's a little sensor array with a chip that can detect moisture, sweat, and then uses computer analysis to measure your blood glucose, lactose, sodium, potassium, and your body temperature. These would be very nice things to have in an Apple Watch in the future generation, especially your blood glucose level. And then as soon as I started reading that, I started thinking, you know, there's so much effort on the part of companies to be helpful and to make recommendations and to provide you with useful information that you'll perhaps act on for your health and fitness, that there'll come a day when a constant monitoring of your blood glucose will lead to nutritional suggestions. And it'll say, well, based on analysis of your blood potassium and glucose, we recommend that you have such and such. But we do not recommend that you eat a candy bar at this time. And so the title of the article, What to Do When Your Apple Watch Tells You Not to Eat That Candy Bar. So it's just looking forward to the day when we're going to take the next step beyond the fitness monitoring pulse and steps we walk, and into an analysis of the body chemistry on not only the Apple Watch, but other fitness devices. And I kind of just briefly alluded to that and talked about in a humorous way about how we're going to be strong suggestions are going to be made about what we eat. And, you know, that can be very helpful at times. I remember when I was an undergraduate, students would put in all-nighters and they'd stagger into the classroom not prepared to take their tests. And I can foresee a day when people will, you know, go through a regimen program where it says, okay, exam is tomorrow, start the clock ticking. Here's what I do. You know, I go for a mile run. I have lean meat and this for vegetables for dinner. And then I get 9.3 hours of sleep. And then I wake
have
up in the morning and do
push-ups.
Have
you just met college kids? you see this time when college kids are going to, because they're guided by their Apple Watches, eat sensibly and exercise?
Well, that's what's going to be marketed anyway. And I'm sure a few will embrace it and a few will not.
I certainly need that.
It's a more quantitative path to success that some people will choose to take, as opposed to, you know, random, you know, what do I feel like eating right now?
Fair enough.
I really like your fantasy vision of how college students could use this.
His optimism is endearing.
It really is. You know, and but John, I think there's some things that Apple could do if they get FDA approval now with the Apple Watches we already have, because the sensors that are in our Apple Watches will do more than they're being used for right now.
Yeah, but, I read that. Yeah.
But there are features that are shut off because they would require FDA approval. And I'm not sure that Apple feels like they would get data that's accurate on the level that they want.
Yeah, that's a whole other picture, is the calibration and the accuracy of the data, and then making decisions based on that. That's a whole another piece of cake.
Yeah, so I would love to see our Apple Watches gathering more data than they do. I just wonder when we will really see that. And it would be cool to see something like that in Apple Watch 2 whenever that comes out. But, you know, it maybe what Apple's going to do is give us better battery life and some other features in version 2. And then in version 3, give us more sensors.
You know what I can't wait to see is the Apple Watch in 10 years. You know, we've had the iPhone now for 8, let's see, 16, 7, 9 years, maybe 8.5. I can't wait to see what the Apple Watch is like in 10 years. It's just going to be amazing. It will look back on the old days of the original Apple Watch. It's this clunky thing.
Yeah, I wonder if...
You're wondering if we will have an Apple Watch in 10 years, aren't you?
Kind of not, because Tim Cook was spot on when he said that the wrist is an interesting place for wearable computing. I can't remember exactly how he said it, but
that's a good paraphrase.
I mean, there's a reason why watches have remained popular since miniaturization allowed us to wear them. To, you know, wear clocks on our wrist. There's a reason why that's endured all this time.
It's the human thing to do.
But I can't help but think at the same time that within 10 years, we might well have a completely different and better way to get things like notifications and tracking. And
we might have little nanobots injected into our bloodstream once a year, and they circulate around collecting data and transmitting it to our phone. I'm sure that'll happen.
That certainly will happen, barring a collapsed civilization at some point, but I don't know if that'll happen in 10 years. And I'd also like to say that if anyone out there for some reason had any remaining doubts that John Martellaro is not better than all of the other people on the planet, it's his faith that college kids are going to exercise and eat right before tests.
Yep. There you go.
Proof that John Martellaro is better than all of us.
Not only the physics and astronomy majors. There you go.
Yeah. Well, you have to start somewhere. And John, I love your eternal optimism. It's amazing. On that note, I think we have to wrap up. So, Brian, thank you for being here today.
Absolutely.
It's always great to have you. John, it's always great to have you and your unbridled optimism.
Love of the future feels so good.
Yeah. All right. Listeners, thank you for joining us. We'll see everyone again tomorrow.